evening. How you doing? You all here? Why don't you take your Bibles and go to 1 John. First John chapter 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 14. John 14, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at Romans chapter 8. Greater is he that's in you than it's in the world. God in Christ in you, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Word declares that persecution, famine, peril, sword, distress, tribulation, whatever the world or the adversary can muster up, the Bible says, in all these things we are more than conquerors. It says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, everything that God is, everything that God has made available, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. He holds nothing back that is good from his children. He holds nothing back that we would be lacking. The Bible says that we are complete in him. We live in an era of dominion linked with omnipotence, filled with him that is greater than he that is in the world, with access to the knowledge and the wisdom of him who spoke the universe into being, and a legal right to use the name of Jesus Christ in every crisis that arises in our life. And that's what I want to look at tonight, in his name. If you go to John chapter 14, please. Those verses and many more tell us what God has already made us in Christ. It's not a matter of something that we need to accomplish for ourselves. It's a matter of believing who we are and identifying with God and with our Lord who God has made us in Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. What it doesn't say in verse 12, it doesn't say whatsoever you shall pray in my name. It says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. And the context of the preceding verse is talking about works. The works that I do shall you do. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name concerning the works, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, praying in the name of Jesus Christ is covered in chapter 15, 16, 17 of the book of John. So I'm not saying that we don't do that. But what I'm saying here, it's not talking about praying. It's talking about asking. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. And the word ask, the word that is used in the English, ask, in the Greek, can and is also translated demand. Demand. And there is a difference between praying and demanding. There's a great difference. Look at Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of what? He was expecting to receive. It's a great key in receiving from God. You expect to receive. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping stood up and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and what?
Praising God.
This is not prayer. This is the promise that was given in the book of John and other places to ask or to demand in his name. And this is how you minister to someone. This is the legal right to use the name of Jesus Christ. You must understand that Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus told us to ask or demand in his name, and it will be done. We need to understand that we speak from the throne room of God when we demand. We speak from resurrected ground. Jesus himself said, ask. In other words, he said, you have a right to demand. Now you need to understand this. We don't demand anything from God, and we don't demand anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. What we demand is that the adversary leave the person and release their hold over them, because that is our legal right to do so. Because we speak from a greater position of power and authority. Now, as I was at work this morning, I had the place opened up. And we were working, and lo and behold, my brother pulls in. And between my building and the fence that's next door that separates the next building is a roadway. But it's not really a roadway. It's my property. We just leave it open so we can get from the front of the garage to the back of the garage. We have a chain there in the front. We have a chain in the back so we can chain it off. Well, Markley Street, Harding Boulevard is very busy in the morning. Backed up. So my brother pulls up with his truck, pulls next to the office into the alleyway there, shuts the truck off, gets out. goes to the back of the truck to get a bag of trash to throw in the dumpster. And lo and behold, right behind him is this black SUV. And so when my brother gets out of the truck, the guy in the black SUV goes like this. I can see him in the truck. So my brother ignores him, goes to his tailgate and gets his trash. And then I'm pulling a car out. And then the guy's looking at him, like, move so I can get through. And my brother just walks away with the trash. So then the guy gets out of the SUV, which at that time I put my car in park. And I get out of my car and I start to walk my way over to see, you know, what's going to happen. And I see the guy, very composed, non-threatening manner. I read his body language. And he goes like this. And he pulls out something. And there's a gold badge that says FBI on it. And he says a few words to my brother, which he later told me he was in pursuit of somebody. And so my brother gets back in the truck and lets him through. Okay? Because he spoke from a higher authority. And my brother recognized that when he saw his badge. And so what he'd do? He obeyed. That's like us. When we speak in the name of Jesus, we speak from a higher authority. And the adversary has to bow. The adversary has to leave. The adversary has to let go. See? And we can demand him to do so. We can demand him to do so because it's our right, and Jesus has accomplished that right for us. You speak with a greater power and a greater authority from the highest power, and the adversary must obey the name of Jesus. He has talked us out of this. He has talked us out of it. He has put us full of fear. He's given us circumstances to look at so we get our eyes off of the word. He has to obey the word, the name of Jesus, and the word of God. Look at Philippians 2. And if you can just get that out of this teaching tonight, you're way ahead of a whole bunch of other people that don't believe that. He must obey in the name of Jesus. He must yield. He must obey. That's God's word. And he talks us out of it. He tells us no. But God says yes. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That the name of Jesus, everything's got to bow. That's what the word says. You understand? Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. That means Satan has got to bow at the name of Jesus. He's got to leave. We've been lied to. We've been talked out of it. Circumstances have told us differently, and we've believed circumstances. The Bible says that every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Sickness has to leave at the name of Jesus. Disease has to leave in the name of Jesus. Circumstances have to change in the name of Jesus. Money has to come in the name of Jesus. And it is your right to use the name of Jesus when you come across a crisis in life. And it must bow. It must obey. It must conform. Because it's the name of Jesus. And there's power in that name. And we've been given the right and the authority to use that name. Each one of us. You are demanding that the forces of darkness are broken over your life when you use the name of Jesus. You demand it. You don't demand from God. You demand the adversary to get back over there in the corner and sit down. Or get back to hell and go and sit down. You understand? That's what you demand. Because Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall demand in my name, it shall be given unto you. He'll do it. He watches over his name. He performs that which is commanded in his name. God has given us the right and authority. You demand that diseases leave and that people should be healed. You don't demand of God, you demand diseases to leave. Are diseases of God?
No.
People should be healed. You demand circumstances to change. You understand? You exercise your God-given right as a son or a daughter of God. But you got to know who you are before you can exercise what that is. Understand? That's why you need to know what the Word of God says about you. Jesus is going to look after the things that you command in His name. We are in the family of God. And because we're in the family of God, we have a legal right to these things that have been supplied to us by God and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Because we're in the family. Now that's unqualified. You didn't do anything to get in the family but to confess Him as your Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. Once you've been placed in the family, you legally have everything that the oldest member in the family of God has. The youngest member in the family of God has everything that the oldest member of the family of God has. It's all yours. It's like walking into a department store at Christmas time, and your daddy owns the store. It's all yours. Legally, it's all yours. No one can say, you can't have that. And then you show him your name tag, and it says Macy's, right? Nobody's going to say that. But what the adversary does is he talks us out of who we are. He talks us out of what we have. He talks us out of our royal heritage. You are in God's family. You have the right to use the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Word of God says that every name, every knee, everything will bow to and in the name of Jesus. It has to bow. Now, either God's a liar or we've missed it somewhere along the way. And this world does not promote God. It does not promote the things of God. Although we are making better strides than we have been in recent years with our government. But our government is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. How many times have you used the name of Jesus and demanded that the situations change? Just don't pray about it. It's okay to pray, and I'm not telling you not to pray. But there's a time to pray, and then there's a time to just sit up and say, hey, I know who I am. I know what I've been given. I'm sick and tired of you, devil. Get out of my life. Stop lying to me. Jesus said I could do such and such, and I have such and such. That's what you need to do. You use the name of Jesus. And if you don't use the name of Jesus, I will guarantee you this. You will have little to none experience of seeing God work in your life along these lines. Okay? If you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Amen. Can't think about it. But we've been given great things. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We belong to His family. And as members of His family, we have legal rights to the name that we bear as a child, a son, or a daughter of God. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who will bless us?
No.
Who may bless us?
No.
Who hath? He hath blessed us with a couple. 12. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in who?
Christ.
It's past tense. Do you understand? That's why I say when you become a child of God and you're set in this family, everything that you need has already been accomplished, and everything that you need has already been given unto you. He hath blessed you. He hath blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Blessings of health, blessings of prosperity, blessings of sound mind, blessings of wisdom, courage, patience, faithfulness, understanding, this sort of thing. You've already been given it. Why aren't we utilizing it? Why aren't we taking it to ourselves? Why aren't we demanding in the name of Jesus, Satan, get out of here? Wonderful book by Carlos Anacondia titled, Satan, Listen to Me, or Listen to Me, Satan. And that's how he starts out. Listen to me, Satan. That's what he says. He's not a mealy little... Will you please, may I have a moment of time to speak to you, Satan, dear? No. He speaks from a position of authority. He speaks from a position of power. He speaks from a position of identity, knowing who he is and what he has been given in Christ. And he has not been given anything more than you. Bible says God is how much of a respecter of persons? Zero. He can't love me more than he loves you. He can't empower me more than he can empower you. He'd be a respecter of persons. Now, people believe differently, people act differently, people walk differently, but that's not God's fault. You see, it's one room, it's one big happy family. In your house, I guess, except for the ice cream, everything in the refrigerator, everybody could have, right? The ice cream was daddy's. Stay away from that. Sometimes I put a skull and crossbones on something, do not touch, and I put it in the refrigerator if I want it to be there the next morning. That means it's big dogs, don't touch that. You're going to pay. But everything in the house sold in the refrigerator is yours, you understand? You don't have to come and say, can I have an egg? Can I have an apple? Can I have a pear? Your kid keeps coming to you asking that, you're going to throw an apple at him sooner or later. I'm watching the game, leave me alone. It's your refrigerator. You see, it's the same with God. God has given us all things in Christ. He wants us to be partakers of that. And he went to a great price when he made that shopping spree for us. Because when he got to the cash register was the cross. He said, how are you going to pay for all this stuff? My son will pay for it. He's going to give all the stuff to these people. Who's going to pay for it? He'll pay for it. And what Jesus do? He said, I'll pay for it gladly. Pay for it gladly. He's given us all spiritual blessings. Number two, how do you use the name? How do you use the name? The two major ways that the name of Jesus is used in the scriptures is, number one, with regards to prayer. When you pray, your prayer is to God or to the Father, and your prayer is in the name of Jesus. He is the mediator. He is the one that takes that prayer and it goes through him to God. He is the mediator. He stands as our mediator. Without Christ, we're nothing. Without Christ, we wouldn't have access to the throne room. Without Christ, we wouldn't have access to the telephone, let alone a quarter to use it or whatever they're charging nowadays. See? We pray to God in the name of Jesus. The second major way that the name of Jesus is used in the scriptures is when it's concerning ministering to someone. Now, these are not the only ways, but these are the two major ways that the name of Jesus is used in the scriptures. One in prayer. Look at John 16. Prayer to the Father, verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So you ask, you pray, you ask the Father in his what? Amen. This is using the name of Jesus in prayer. There's a distinction. And this is the divine order that it's set up. Some people say pray to Jesus. Some people say pray to the Holy Spirit. Some people say pray to this. The scripture teaches us nowhere that. The scripture teaches us to pray to God in the name of Jesus. Now, people are nice and people are religious and people may do whatever. But people do not have authority over the word of God. The authority of how and what to do should come from the word of God. And the word of God teaches us that when we pray to the Father, to God, to the Lord, to the Creator, whoever you want to call him, whatever, in the name of Jesus. This is the new covenant. This is the New Testament prayer. In the Old Testament, it wasn't like that. But when Jesus came, he changed the Old Covenant into the New Covenant, and the New Covenant is the way we do it now, and that is the way we pray in the name of Jesus. The second way the name of Jesus is used is in ministering to someone or demanding the forces of darkness to leave. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what?
Recover.
This is using the name of Jesus Christ. You lay hands on the sick. You understand? You lay hands on the sick. You touch the person. And you say, in the name of Jesus, body, obey the word. The word says, by his stripes you are healed. That's how you pray. That's how you minister in the name of Jesus. Now, if the person has arthritis, or the person has a disease, you speak unto the disease. You say, spirit of arthritis, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. See? Satan has kept our eyes blind to these truths in the Word of God. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. The only part that it has to do with you is to get you on the same page that God says you're on. But Satan tells you you're not on that page. Satan's going to whisper in your ear, you can't do it. Satan's going to get your eyes pointing to all the sense, knowledge, reasons, and all the other things to tell you why it's not going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, you have to fight for the word in your life. You have to drink the word. You have to eat the word. You have to soak yourself with the word. You have to surround yourself with the word. And you have to be around people that are going to encourage you with the word of God and challenge you with the word of God to be more than what you are now. And sometimes being challenged is going to make you feel uncomfortable because it's comfortable to sit in a place of unbelief and just pretend. But you will never see the great things of God come to pass in your life if you just sit and listen. The Bible says that you got to be a what?
Doer
of the word. You got to be a doer of the word. And you're wonderful. And there's no reason for shame. And there's no reason for feeling less than what the word says. And there's no reason for condemnation, to condemn yourself. There's no reason to think that you have failed or you have let God down or what's wrong with me. Those thoughts are from the devil. They are the exact thoughts that are stopping you from rising up to your potential in Christ of who you are. When you hear those kind of thoughts, how could you even begin to accept, to believe them or consider them when you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? You have been cleansed. You can't get any cleaner than that. He shed his blood for you. The Bible says that he took his blood. In the book of Hebrews, it says that he took his blood and he ascended on high and he went into the heavens and he went into the Holy of Holies in the heavens to the mercy seat of God. And there he placed his blood on the mercy seat of God, and God accepted that blood sacrifice and cleansed you of everything that you ever could do or ever did do. That pattern of the tabernacle was given to Moses. And God said to Moses, make sure you make this tabernacle after the picture that I gave you from the one that's from above. There were two tabernacles. There was one here to represent what was the literal tabernacle of God in heaven. And God gave Moses the pattern. And he said, make it after the pattern I showed you. The high priest could only come to the tabernacle on earth. And he could only come once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he had to bring blood. And it was that blood that cleansed those people for that year. But it never fully cleansed, it just covered them. Because if they still had a remembrance. Because of the blood of goats and bulls could never. And it was a foreshadowing. It was a type of what this high priest did once a year, that when the Messiah would come, he would enter into the tabernacle of heaven and do what couldn't be done on the tabernacle on earth and do it eternally in the tabernacle of heaven, entering in with his own blood. He didn't come with the blood of goats and bulls, which can never save. He came with his own blood. And he put that blood on the mercy seat where it was to be offered. And God accepted his offering of his blood. And when God accepted his offering of his blood, it was done. You were cleansed. You have no right to think less of yourself. You have no right to condemn yourself. You have no right to feel shame or guilt. The adversary's throwing that crap at you. He's telling you that you're less than what you are. He's telling you there's something wrong with you. He's telling you, now look what's happened. Don't believe those lies. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ to put you where you are. And God accepted that sacrifice. So if God accepted the sacrifice and Jesus Christ made the sacrifice, who's going to tell you different? Who's going to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Distress, peril, sickness, disease, what's it say? Nay, in all these things we're what? More than conquerors. More than conquerors. You ought to rise up and believe it. When are you going to stop listening to the devil? When are you going to stop and say, I'm fed up with you. I command you, get out of my life. It's going to change. Because of me? No, because of the blood. It's all legal. You got the legal right to use his name. What are you waiting for? You're not bad. You're not disgusting. You're not going to never going to amount to anything. That's BS. You've been lied to. You've been told a lie. Don't believe that. You're wonderful. God loves you. You're his best. You have eternal life. You are the lights of the world. You have everything that God has given in Christ. And Christ thinks so much of you that he died for you. And it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You were part of that joy. I not only pray for these, Father, but I pray for the ones that are going to believe on me through their what? Word. See? Oh, people. Why do we just live where the devil wants us to live? Why do we believe what the devil says? Why do we believe what the papers say? Why do we believe what the reports say, what statistics say, what medical science says? When our God says we're more than conquerors. When our God says, I have accepted the blood of the new covenant. I have accepted the blood of the high priest, Jesus Christ. You are at peace with God. God's not mad at you. You listen to me. You're at peace with God. God's happy with you. He loves you. He's not looking to pick a fight with you. He's not looking over you with a big magnifying glass trying to find your sins. You start confessing your weaknesses. You start confessing your sins. You start confessing that which you lack. You're just magnifying the devil. You're doing the work of the devil. Why do you want to do that? God over there is pulling his gray hair out. I guess it's gray. I'd be gray if I was God. I'd be bald. But he's God, so he can grow some new hair the next day. Don't do that to yourselves. The only one you're making happy doing that is the devil. Don't do that. You have nothing to lose in believing the word of God and everything to gain. And I want to tell you right now, you better get used to understanding and using the name of Jesus. Because that name will move mountains. That name will heal cancer. That name will make people whole. That name will do what needs to be done in your life. And he's given it to us. We have the right to use it. He's said, demand it. Anything you ask in my name, anything you command in my name, I will do. He's backing it up. He's the surety of the new covenant. He's backing it up. You understand? His name is written on the credit card. And your name's underneath of it. And when you go there somewhere and you claim and say, this is what I want, and you put the credit card down, just like that guy put his gold badge down, you know what happened? Things happened. Situations changed. Because I'll guarantee if he didn't have a gold badge, that black truck still would have been there. And he would have had to find another way around the road, you understand? But things changed because he had the badge and he exercised the authority. And as we recognize that, that's the way it works in the spiritual realm. The devil understands. The devil recognizes. And the devil will bow. Circumstances have to change. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There may be when, but there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's sealed. It's sealed by the blood of Christ. And it's as good as the very word of God. And it's even better than that. It's as good as God himself. Because God does not lie. And he's told us all of these things and he's given us all of these things. Satan has kept our eyes blind to the use of the name of Jesus. So my exhortation tonight is to utilize the name of Jesus Christ in the circumstances that you face in life. Whatever those circumstances are, pray. And pray all you want. And when you're done your prayer, you command those things to change. You command the adversary out of your life. You command sickness gone. You command disease gone. You command that problem gone in the name of Jesus. And it'd be even better if you could find a scripture to go along with your command. I'm afraid. In the name of Jesus, the word says, God has not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
Body, in the name of Jesus, stop being afraid. Spirit of fear, leave me in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid to say that. Don't be afraid of spirit of sickness, spirit of pain. I didn't say devil spirit. It may be. There's other spirits that aren't devil spirits. There's a spirit of man, there's a spirit of a lot of things. There's a spirit of a pep rally. Whether it's up or whether it's down. There's a spirit of a room when you walk into it. There's a spirit when you go to a wedding, and there's a spirit when you go to the funeral. Sometimes the funeral's more happy. No, there's a spirit in the room. You can feel it. You understand? Sickness got to go, but it's not going to go unless you tell it to go. You walk in the door, and you see your dog. You get mad because he's not sitting down. If you want him to sit down, what do you do?
Tell him.
Sit down. And if he doesn't sit, What do you do?
Well, it's all right. Just do whatever you want.
No, you tell him again. And then what's he do? He listens. He gets a boot up his tush. The same with the word. You speak under that situation. And then do what God inspires you to do. Do what God inspires you to do. Okay? With Peter and John, they spoke, and then God inspired them to reach out his hand and pick him up. You understand? That's what he did. It didn't happen when he just spoke. He spoke it. And then he needed a little bit more. So God inspired him to reach out and pick him up. Be open to what God tells you to do. And whatever you do, don't be getting down on yourselves. Don't do it. Because if you get down on yourselves, the adversary will just leave you alone because you're doing his job better than he could. I'm not telling you to walk with a cockiness or a sarcasm or a self-righteous attitude. I'm telling you to walk with a Christ-righteous attitude. I'm telling you to walk in light of who you are in him. And once you realize who you are in him, pretty much nobody's got to tell you about the walk. Because you will do the nature of your father. You will manifest the nature of your brother. See? You ever meet a child, and then after a couple minutes say, man, you're just like your daddy. Why? Because that child manifests the nature of the daddy, right? Well, it's the same with God. It's the same with Christ. We manifest the nature of our family. And when we know our family, and we're intimate with our family, and we love them, we'll naturally manifest that nature. So it doesn't have to be a hard renewing of the mind till I squint kind of legalistic law. I got to do all these kind of things. As much as it should be a falling in love and a warm, intimate fellowship with our Lord and with our God. And out of that will blossom and bloom the desire to want to please him. To want to bless him. To want to do that which is right in his eyes. So that he can smile and say, that's my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thanks that we can be doers of this word and we can use the name of Jesus because he's given us the right to do so and he's paid the price for us. Thank you, Father, in his wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. Amen.